This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Big shout out to the northern parts, Squamish and Sechelt and Sydney and Robin, Tessa and Omaha. New York East Side, West Side, you can tap dance your way across, SoCal, Wyoming, and anywhere you are, and of course Nova Scotia. You never know who's listening out there. It is 2:59. It is time for Arts Live and Local on another beautiful day. That means it's the sun was shining. I had to put down the visor in my car. And it's a little gray. It's not even raining. So all is good. Temperature's 46 degrees. And we're very fortunate, very fortunate. And yes, tomorrow evening is Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria when all the galleries are opening up their new fair. And speaking of new fair, I'm going to start out with a piece of music from our good friends, the Hackles. Bright Light Midnight. We've been having a gorgeous moon. Thanks for being here, folks.
Bright light midnight, tell the tone, something given and something sold. Was there ever Christ so long? How can I bring you to me? How can I bring you to me?
How can I bring you?
That's Luke and Katie, of course, and they will be playing coming up. Well, they're always playing music, that is, as well as lots of other good stuff. But they will be playing at Pickled Fish coming up soon. But for right now, I have some folks here with an entirely different presentation. And that is happening tonight, as well as next Friday night and next Sunday. This is the North Coast Chorale, and Dr. Denise Reed is here. Hi, Denise.
Hi.
Good to have you here. And also, I'm going to let Denise tell you what they're doing, but my second guest is Annie Martin, who is the board president for the Astoria Warming Center. And the reason she's here is that the North Coast Chorale is doing this set of concerts as a benefit for the Astoria Warming Center. So welcome, Annie.
Hi.
Come on in and a little bit closer to there.
Hi.
There you go. And have you been on this show?
I have not.
So Annie is actually, yes, she is an arts live and local virgin. Or
yes,
she was.
Yes, I am.
But now
not
that
anymore.
You've spoken, no, you've broken the, you know, you're here. Okay, so the logistics are this concert is happening at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, that's 16th and Franklin. Tickets at the door,
right?
I would say, right? And it is, again, tonight at 7 p.m., which means come on over at 6:30, make sure you get the seats you want. Next Friday at 7, and then on the 22nd, which is a Sunday, it's at 4 p.m. Wow. So, and in between, the North Coast Chorale is doing about 17 other concerts all over the place. Isn't that right, Denise?
Well,
it feels
quite a
that
few,
way.
All the way down to Seaside. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us about what people are going to hear, because I understand you're doing two parts to this concert.
Yeah, the first short section will be some favorites, but everything is kind of geared to our story of a mall and the night visitors. In other words, these are things about what you will see and what that story is about.
Okay,
the pieces are. So they'll be about nine or so holiday, we call them holiday favorites that we'll start our program with.
And you'll be singing, are these songs that the people in the audience are going to feel compelled to burst into song and
might. Joy? They might. Oh, I remember singing that. They
yes,
might do that. I know that.
So, there are people who, I was one of them when I first came here. I've never heard of Amal and the Night Visitors. So why don't you tell folks what this, just kind of, it's Giancarlo Monati. It is an opera, but not what we usually think of.
Well, the reason being, it was originally composed for television. In fact, it was commissioned for television. And in reality, it was 50 minutes. In order to allow for the commercials for that
right.
rest of that hour.
Right.
It was composed for a wide audience, obviously.
Yeah.
When television maybe just came out, 1951.
Is that
when
right?
it was composed.
Yep.
And so he wanted to reach a lot of people.
How does he... I'm just kind of surprised that they put something like that on.
And surprise, yeah. And it's genius that he was able to put those elements that you usually look at have to be in an opera. He was able to put those in a 50-minute slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring it together. So the story is, in a nutshell.
The story goes actually back to the biblical story of the Magi who visit the baby Jesus. Minati takes it through this area where they're going, and they come upon this little boy and his mother, who are very destitute. They're very poor. have no food or whatever, but the Magi come through there. And in their course of going through this family, miracles happen. Mm-hmm. And miracles happen not just, they happen to the people, everybody right. that's involved.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the miracles that's going to happen at this concert is that you have three extraordinary, well, you have several, more than three, but the three Magi are right. extraordinary singers. Right, who are your singers?
They're Deke Guidi, you're probably yes. familiar with him, and he performed in our last Amal, too, when we did it. I think it was 2011 or 2012.
Okay.
I mean, maybe earlier than that.
Okay.
And Phil Keim, who is knows community. And then a surprise person that you might not have known
was
a singer
shock.
Is Tony Kushner. Bridgewater Bistro.
Yeah.
He's
I
going
had
to be.
No sick. Idea he sang.
Yeah.
I saw the name. I said, is this the same guy? I mean, how many
yes.
Tony Kushner's?
And this was his favorite piece. And you really right. have to come and read his bio to find out how he came to be involved in this.
That's wonderful.
Really. Yes.
So how did you connect with him? Did you know he was a singer or someone?
I knew.
Him
I've been around for a while, so I'd been to the bistro, and I knew that how his familiarity was with them all, because he came to our first performance
okay.
that we had here.
Okay.
So I knew he was familiar with it, and like I said, I'm not going to give away any of that
right.
about
right.
how he was involved with it, but right. you'll find out when you read his bio.
I just heard a little of his voice, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yes,
it's wonderful.
Right, and then Anne Bronson.
And Anne Bronson
and
is
a lot
the
of
mom.
You know her
yes.
from maybe
beautiful.
Cannon Beach, you mm-hmm. know, theater and so forth.
Yeah.
But the thing I wanted to say is that we've adapted this because Menotti took it through a group of shepherds and people who were poor, and we've adapted it to be the homeless community of the society that we are focusing on. And that's what brings Annie into it, so that we are asking for donations to the warming center. Because Amal was quite poor.
Mm-hmm.
There were other things about him. And he gave himself selflessly,
mm-hmm.
gave of something that he didn't even know if he needed it. And a miracle occurred. And
right.
so that's why we were going to focus on our community here.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bring hope to everyone.
So did you approach the Warming Center and Annie? Annie, why did you? How did you get involved here?
Well, we do the Sunday market every summer.
You have
so,
a booth?
Yes.
Okay.
I was sitting at the table and Denise came up and talked to me and we talked about it. And I said, that's a great idea. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
We were on board right away.
It sounds like a perfect connection.
Yep. And when she talked about the way they were adapting it, I thought that's wonderful. That's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the Astoria Warming Center? Background, how long it's been around and where it is and how it works. Because I have a note right here, you know, here on KMUN, we do announce mm-hmm. when the warming center is open, and it will not be open tonight.
Correct.
Because of relatively mild weather.
Correct. We are weather-based, as you were just saying, mm-hmm. but we are a warming center. We've been open since 2014, I believe was the first season. We are located at First United Methodist Church, downstairs. There's a separate entrance on 11th. First United Methodist is on the corner of Franklin and 11th, for those that don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we open mm-hmm. at 7 p.m. when we are open, and we close at 8 a.m. the following morning. So we do provide dinners and breakfasts for our guests. We have a maximum capacity of 35. And again, we are weather dependent, so if it's 37 degrees wind chill and or a third of an inch of rain, then we can open. Otherwise, we have a maximum amount of days of 90 days we can be open from November 15th through March 15th.
Ha. Huh. November, December, and February, March. So that's about 4 months.
Correct.
Which would be like 120 days.
Right. But
so
we
you
can
have
only,
to figure
yeah.
out.
Yep. So there is a lot of last-minute finagling.
Right.
But yeah. And
right.
it makes it tough for us to get volunteers because of that and also keep staff. But we do our best. We constantly email everyone.
Now,
every
are you
day.
The one who sends out the emails?
It is not me.
Okay.
No.
They're wonderful. I must say, they're quite delightful. But Do you need volunteers?
Absolutely. All the time. We always need volunteers.
So what would someone do if they're interested in at least finding out? Maybe they're not sure they want to commit, but they want to.
Okay. We do have, if you're on social media at all, you can look us up on Facebook or Instagram even. We have a website, AstoriaWarmingCenter.org. If you are interested in volunteering, you can email us at AstoriaWarmingCenter@gmail.com. We'll send you information about the shifts and we'll send you a volunteer application. Our shifts are normally 3 hours long. We have various from serving dinner through just sitting there overnight, mm-hmm. just being a presence, to doing sometimes helping with showers periodically. And then the morning shifts, of course, are getting people up and getting breakfast and things of that nature. And we do have a cleanup volunteer shifts after everyone leaves as
and
well.
Where do you get the dinners?
The dinners are provided by our wonderful community. I love the city of Astoria is fabulous. The restaurants have really stepped up. We have Fort George. We have Bowie. We have Blue Scorcher. We have Fulio's this year. We have Astoria Bistro and Coffee House.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
isn't that amazing?
I know.
And I have tasted some of those soups.
They do a fabulous job.
Exquisite. Yes,
yes,
chilies
they really do.
And soups and breads desserts. And
this year we're getting leftover pizza from Inferno, is a wonderful thing. So, yeah.
I wondered where that came from. It's that New York pizza, nice and thin crust. I didn't get to eat that because the
guests. That goes fast.
As soon as it's out, I'll take one of those. Can I have two? Come back after, maybe. But there's never any left. So, So, I highly recommend, I don't get to volunteer often because I live far out, but I try, and then sometimes it closes down and I don't
and
get
sometimes
to be there.
We're not open. I know.
But still, and actually the early shift is quite short. It's just 6:45 to 8:30. And it's fun. You get to help serve and
A little more communication with the guests that way, too.
Out.
You get to meet people and to know everybody.
And the guests are incredibly gracious.
Absolutely.
And appreciative over and over. Some ask how they can, can they do something to help? Stuff like that, too. So does this happen often that there are local, the North Coast Chorale is doing? Is that kind of a...
I think that we're getting more of that, which I love to see. So now that we're out in the community more, I think doing that has put us more on the map, and people know us now and can feel like that they can approach us or me, because I'm always out and about in the community. I don't know if I'm the catalyst,
once you meet Annie, you'll recognize her. She has an unusual hairdo. I'll just leave it at that. But Denise, I was wondering about that, because for me it felt that way too. As I used to work at Job Corps, and it was the same idea. If people are sort of trying to put up a wall,
right?
But once they start mixing, they find out.
And that's one of the things we are going to. That's one of the things I've been talking about to my choir too. Sometimes if you see someone that is homeless or something, you want to look the other way because you think they might ask you too much or ask for too much. But you know what? When you look them in the eye and just acknowledge their humanity, that is their hope. Mm-hmm. That's their hope that keeps them going.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. It's definitely, there's that human connection
right
there.
That's very important.
And it feels, and if someone asks if you have spare change and you say nope, person usually just says, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
The idea is the respectfulness.
It is respectfulness. Yeah. And like you said, just acknowledging we are two human beings in this world.
And it could be the other way around.
Right.
That's the other.
That's right.
We all know that. And it happens all the time these days. So
they're community members just like we are. They live here.
Right.
We live here. Yeah.
So back to this concert now. Who's your Amal?
We're not going to say that.
Oh. Okay.
You'll have to come and see. It'll be a surprise about our Amal.
Okay.
But somebody who epitomizes what Amal was. He was just had this, he was very imaginative, and that's why I thought we could switch this. They didn't have to be kings like monarchs,
right.
Royalty,
right.
Where they could be people who were in our society, the one that have the most money, and then you have this imaginative person, and that's a king to them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so
nice.
That's what Amal is.
So when you do that, switch out like that, do you do something with costuming, or
yeah, it's with costuming and setting and just little emphasis on what they're saying. And we have, you know, that's what I was saying about this being a 50-minute. We have a ballet, which is part of an opera, a dance that's in the middle of this.
Wait a minute. So was that scripted, or did you?
No. Oh. We have done nothing with the script or with the music. We cannot touch that. No, there was a dance
there
in the original.
Oh,
yes,
I did not know that.
Her movements are maybe a little modern, you see.
Yeah.
To go along with
enough.
Our... Right. But it's still a ballet as part of an opera.
Wow, this is going to be quite interesting and delightful. And the voices. So the actors are on the stage. Is the chorale also on stage or down below?
The chorale will be singing down below their holiday favorites, but then they are what were originally the shepherds. They are the people in the community also who will be come on stage and offer gifts to the kings, and they'll be a little different. And then they leave the stage, but the rest of the action still goes on with the three kings and
the mother. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Are you going to get to see this at some point?
Well, I hope so.
You're going to get a night off so you can get over there. I definitely will. It's the North Coast Chorale Winter Concert. So the first half will be, what did you call it? Holiday favorites. And probably if you don't sing too loud, they'll be delighted to have you sing along quietly. Mm-hmm. And then the second half is the one act play by Giancarlo Menotti, but adapted to present day. And we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Denise has got this.
This is the first.
There you go. Amal and the Night Visitors. And it's tonight at 7 p.m. And then a week from tonight, 7 p.m., and then Sunday next week, not this week, at 4 p.m., all taking place at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, that's 16th and Franklin. And just come early enough. And I don't know if they're taking credit cards these days or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No,
so bring a check or cash.
A check or cash, yes.
Yeah, there are several places.
And then what we're doing, you'll get your ticket, and then we're asking for donations for the warming center. They can be monetary, or they can be warm things like scarves.
Oh, okay.
And hats. We call them toques in Canada, those kind of hats. And
gloves, sweaters,
or socks.
Socks.
Any
all
of those things also we're taking to contribute.
Nice, nice. Okay. Well, it should be.
Fantastic.
I love the collaboration.
Yep.
The more we can do to
definitely
bring the community together.
Yes.
Right. So good.
It's important.
Well, I won't say break a leg because you're the conductor.
Please,
you don't want to be break.
I don't want to break legs.
Okay. And Annie, thank you so much for the work you do. It's really phenomenal. And folks, again, AstoriaWarmingCenter.org. If you're like me and not on social media, if you're on social media, you can do all those other things. Just look for and you'll find it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Annie Martin, the board president at Astoria Warming Center, and Dr. Denise Reed, the conductor and director of the North Coast Chorale. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us on here.
And I've got some music from my next guest, so let's go right ahead and put this on. And then you'll find out who's coming.
but it won't be in key with that.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Joan Holland Paddock on her, say it for me.
Lure.
Lure. Why can't I mean, it's such a, but you spell it how?
L-U-R.
L-U-R. And think about it, folks. What do you think it looks like? Just imagine it in your mind, and then I'm going to let Joan tell you what it is. What is that instrument that we just heard?
Hi, Carol. It's so nice to be here today. I am holding a lure, which is made out of wood, and it's not very heavy, maybe 2 pounds, and it's about 3 feet long, which puts it in the key of E flat. It's spruce wood that's been carved out on two sides and then glued back together and wrapped with birch bark, a tree, the birch tree, which grows in the north. And it is an instrument that was used for herding and for scaring away beasts and for communication.
And there are no holes.
There's no valves.
No valves.
And there are no other holes. There's just the bell and the mouthpiece.
So you have to do everything by adjusting your mouth.
With my imagination, lots of air, and with my embouchure, which means the way, I put my mouth.
Oh, is that, say that word again?
Oh, it's a French word, isn't it?
Embouchure.
Embouchure.
And it means?
That the mouth is placed to be able to form.
Bouche is the mouth, so that's where it must come from, huh? Okay. Well, Joan is here because she is the guest conductor. She's a Linfield College professor. She's the guest conductor for the North Coast Symphonic Band. And in my other guest, who's going to get nice and close to the mic, is John Hammond, who is the... Now, I'm calling you the assistant conductor, but you're also a conductor. But for this concert, is that what's happening? Or what?
Well, I'm not actually conducting at all. I'm playing the trombone section for this concert.
Okay, you get off.
I get off.
Be a musician this time. But you're the local, so it's always good to... Just in case. We have Joan's been here before, though. Also, you've been here at least once, maybe twice.
Yes, I've had the opportunity, and I feel very fortunate to have had an opportunity to conduct the North Coast Symphonic Band about a year and a half ago for a Scandinavian concert. And I did want to mention that John has conducted some of the repertoire of this concert. I had a dress rehearsal on Monday, November 11th, and he totally took the podium and rehearsed this band very well.
That's great.
They're in good hands with him.
Oh, thank you. It was fun.
This band is pretty amazing because every year you have had guest conductors, but also... A number of the players, like Lee Stromquist, has also conducted. Is that right?
Right. There's actually quite a few former and current music teachers in the band.
Right. That's the secret, folks. These guys have been doing it forever. Where did you teach, John?
I taught quite a few different schools, but I finished up at Warrenton.
Right. So lucky us. And this concert is happening... This Sunday, that's December 15th. Folks, I didn't warn you. I forgot to warn you that today's show, I have concerts for tonight, tomorrow night, and then Sunday afternoon. So the North Coast Symphonic Band is the Sunday afternoon concert, and it is at 2 o'clock, but... There is the wonderful pre-show. Who are you part of that low brass ensemble?
The low brass ensemble. Yes, that's a group of five people, four trombones and a tuba, and we're playing some Christmas tunes, but rather jazzed up Christmas tunes, and they're a lot of fun to play.
I love this, all brass. I had never heard of a tuba quartet till I moved here, and now I know this weekend at some point there's a tuba quartet concert across the river.
Right, we're playing over at
Iwanko. Of course, how silly of me. It's the same people. These musicians are like running back and forth among all the concerts that are going on. So
I have heard them rehearse
because
they meet before the rehearsal of the North Coast Symphonic Band.
Uh-huh.
And I've come out and sat about one foot from John's embouchure as I was listening to them play. Oh, I love the music. I'll try to make sure to go over to their concert.
Yeah.
Fortunately, she didn't reach over and say, you missed that. No.
No.
Because Joan is playing the lure, but what do you play when you're not on exotic instrument?
Thank you. I'm a trumpet player, having started playing when I was 14 years old and growing up in North Dakota, and took with a Norwegian gentleman, took lessons. His name was Gary Stenjum. And then to Indiana University, and then to Norway, and now out to Oregon.
Did you fall in love with the trumpet immediately, or how? 14 years old to start playing this loud instrument, a girl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes, I think what happened is that Mr. Stenjum, I have a very, very clever mother. And Mr. Stenjum had called my mother and said, why don't you have Joan play that trumpet that John, my brother John, had played, that's sitting in the closet.
Oh,
and
I
my
see.
Mother was clever and said, no.
Oh.
She said, why don't you call her out of class and ask her if she would like to play trumpet? And it was funny. I was in choir the first semester, so I began at 14 at the second semester of school to avoid general music class and play in band. And I loved it. I loved it. And played everything by ear and wanted to please the teacher.
So had you played a different instrument before then?
I'd always sung.
Okay. But so you had the ear. But
my sisters and my brother played piano, so I had, and there was always music going on in the house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My dad was a singer, too.
And what do you teach?
I'm a professor of music at Linfield College in McMinnville, Oregon. And we have a wonderful music department there that's thriving.
So do you teach like theory and all that kind of stuff?
I'm the conductor of the bands.
Okay.
And I teach trumpet lessons as well as coach brass chamber music ensembles.
Nice.
And then I teach a course for freshmen that is a writing course called the Inquiry Seminar. And because of my experiences with that, I realized how fascinating and how connecting and how healing is a drum circle. When I was just using it for a change of pace in my INQS or inquiry seminar. So I developed a course called Drumwise, which delves into healing and wellness and musical cultures of the world, all of them whom drum.
Oh, could you come and do that here?
I would
love
to.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I would
jump right on that.
But, you know, I love this community. I feel fortunate to come and direct the North Coast Symphonic Band as a guest in the future someday. Maybe I can be, I don't know.
On your sabbatical, you'll come up here.
That's 7 years. But anyway, it's great to be here, and I feel like it's a home away from home.
Now, this concert that you folks are doing is called Nordic Winter Fest. So who's going to tell us what that, So is everything? It looks like it is, isn't it?
I was given a little bit of carte blanche to create a program. John will tell a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to try to pronounce the words here, the names of them, but yes, they're all from Scandinavian countries: Norway, Denmark, Iceland, Finland, Sweden.
Wow. So you covered all the bases, right?
But we probably should also say that, you know, we are also doing this with the choir, with Dr. Reed.
Yeah, and, who just left.
Right. Right. And I think the collaboration, I think the people will really enjoy what we're doing.
So is, and it looks like Nancy Montgomery is going to be narrating something?
Yes, we have a lot of people that are featured. So I'll start with Nancy. She's going to take a North Norwegian anthem, which is a hymn in the north of mm-hmm. Norway, Tromsø, mm-hmm. the land of the midnight mm-hmm. sun, and the land of darkness from November 21st to January 21st. And it's hard life, really. And anyway, she at first was going to take this song and narrate it mm-hmm. because I have a friend named Stina Fagerton.
I know.
Who's been in this area, who yes. has, and it's a part yes. of a piece that we always do on cultural programs when we've performed abroad and here mm-hmm. in the United States. Mm-hmm. But Nancy Montgomery, she may have a surprise in store for our audience, not mm-hmm. just narrate, but also sing the text that was given permission to Stina to write by the author of the lyrics.
Yeah, we know Nancy. She was a programmer, and she's one of our top actors and singers around. So
great. There's going to be another vocal soloist. And would you like to tell who that is?
Sure. I know all of Astoria is pretty familiar with Chris Lynn Taylor.
Oh, of course.
Of course, yes.
Of course,
and,
yes.
So the translation is a piece called Wonderful Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
She sings, and then the choir will also back up as the band plays.
So lovely.
Yes.
It is lovely.
Chris Lynn is in the chorale, but she also, everybody would know Chris Lynn from Shanghai in Astoria, from which she has stepped back at this point, although she's still there all the time. But let some of the younger people step up into those roles.
Yeah.
But Chris Lynn is a wonderful vocalist.
Some of the Swedish people in the area may recognize Jul, Strålande Jul, which is the wonderful piece where Chris Lynn will be singing.
So I know that recently we have been switching over from saying Scandinavian to Nordic because we learned that Finland and Iceland are actually not Scandinavia. They're Nordic, so I'm still learning that. It's kind of hard. I need to, we've got some more, another concert and some visual artists. So should people dress up?
Well, we encourage them to wear, if they have a Nordic dress, mm-hmm. the Scandinavian bunads, Nordic bunads, and also their wonderful warm sweaters,
yes,
hand-knit and machine-knit or otherwise. I just wanted to mention that Bob Latour will also be a soloist on our program with Nordic Night.
And he's going to be on the flugelhorn, which I love to say. this may be some of the most unusual instruments with your lure. I wrote it down so I can keep on getting it this time. But Joan, I am delighted that you're here. Again, Dr. Joan Holland Paddock. That's Holland spelled H-A-A-L-A-N-D. Of course, it wouldn't be anything just plain and ordinary for Joan. And she is professor of music at Linfield College. She is our guest conductor this Sunday, and the concert is at 2:00. The Low Brass Ensemble starts at 1:30, so the doors open at 1:15. Come and I understand that there's going to be holiday music from the balcony. Is that true?
That's true.
Oh, man, that's going to be really fun. It's going to be a gorgeous concert. And the Liberty is all decorated. They've got Santa coming in and out all the time. So,
and at the end, we will have the opportunity for the audience to join us in English, in American carols and secular songs.
Wonderful.
Holiday songs.
Thank you so much for coming in. And John Hammond, it's a joy to have you.
Well, thank you.
With all the time here, so, okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to play a piece of music, and I've got my a couple more sets of people coming in. So stay tuned, folks.
I am getting used to cities in the...
This is Catherine Clare. This piece is called New York City Love Song. I'm sending it out.
And you didn't have to call me, cause my bags are packed already. You didn't have to ask me as though needing me was a crime, cause I've got me a ticket to New York City at 9:30. Who sits ahead of me is painting on her makeup. The man who sits next to me is whispering on the phone. And as we are leaving Boston and we pull out on the highway, I realize I hold a ticket to a place filled with unknowns. Will you know me when you see me? Will you look at me that way? It says, I'm sorry, I wish there was something I could say.
Recognizable voice of Catherine Clare. That's an album from 2004, I believe. New York City Love Song, I couldn't resist. But actually, she is going to be playing with her trio, Don Henson and Sid Ditson. This is happening Saturday night, 7 o'clock. It is a Peninsula Performing Arts Center concert, but it is happening at River City Playhouse. It got me confused. So it is in Ilwaco at River City Playhouse because it's a larger venue. I'm sure that's the reason. And it will be a gorgeous concert, too. Right now, however, I have the third of the Astoria concerts. And Melissa Lagerquist... Melissa, where is your name from?
My name is Swedish.
Swedish. Okay, mm-hmm. See, we were just, I don't know whether you heard those guys. That's the Nordic winter concert that mm-hmm. the North, so they were doing the whole, but you've got the name.
The name.
Melissa is with the Columbia River Symphony, and their concert is tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Yes, at the Liberty. So we have tonight at the PAC with Amal, tomorrow night at the Liberty with CRS. This is the Astoria venues. And then Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Liberty again with North Coast Symphonic Band. This is a free annual holiday concert. And the fun part, I think, is that you're bringing in, besides the fabulous music that you guys all do, the Warrenton High School and grade school choirs. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
So what do you do with the Columbia River Symphony?
I'm a musician, and I play the flute and occasionally alto sax.
Okay.
I'm also on the board of directors, vice president.
That's how you get to come.
Yes.
You can't say no. So when you say occasionally the alto sax, does that mean... when they need an alto sax, mm-hmm. you sing. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Columbia River Symphony is a phenomenon around here. Started out for the youth. And how long have you been playing with them?
I started in October of 2017, and I hadn't played flute for almost 15 years prior to that.
Wow.
So it's been wonderful.
Were you living here?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was born and raised here.
Oh, well, that makes sense. See, mm-hmm. the name fits. So you heard about this particular orchestra
yeah.
or what?
My friend Kate Drury is in the orchestra, and she plays the violin.
Yes.
And she invited me to join. And ironically enough, the season I joined, she was not in that season.
Oh, well, that meant you couldn't You know, you have security. You had to just be yourself.
Yes.
But Kate's back there now.
She is, yes.
And Kate's father, Dave Drury, used to be a programmer here.
Oh, he's this amazing.
This is one big, happy arts and culture family out here. So
we're blessed.
So tell us, we're going to make it short, but tell us about this concert.
Okay, so the concert is titled Holiday Gifts, and we're going to be playing a variety of Christmas music, holiday music. If you arrive prior to the concert at 7, there will be caroling outside. Oh. I will be leading some caroling.
Oh, sweet.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Is it a cappella?
Then, or yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very nice. In the dark.
Yes.
And then, let's see. Who's going to be, is the concert going to be instrumental?
Or yes, and...
And then the choir is going to sing with you the whole concert or just parts? Or
we play several songs with the choir, and I don't know if they have any pieces they're performing on their own. Oh. I know we do have several that we're going to perform on our own as well.
Nice. Okay. And will the Warrington High School and grade school choirs be caroling with you outside before?
No. They will be saving their voices.
Oh, of course. And you'll be playing music that night. And Corey Peterson, of course, will be conducting. And... did a great job with the Nutcracker and various other orchestras around here.
Mm-hmm. He's so
busy. West Coast Chamber Orchestra as well. But this is always a delightful. Now, this is at the Liberty. But Columbia River Symphony tends to fill the hall.
We pack the auditorium.
Yeah.
I recommend showing up early if possible.
I do, too. It's quite amazing because the Liberty holds 650 people. And sometimes it is. And yes, it is a free concert. But truth be known, around here, most of the concerts are extremely accessible. Even if there is a ticket price, they're very accessible. Mm-hmm. So, Saturday night. If you don't know, if you can't keep all of this straight, you can go to coastradio.org. Click on community or go over to the community events and click on date and then just start reading all the things that are happening. So, okay, Melissa, we don't say break a leg. I don't say break a leg to musicians.
Well,
so
thank you.
I'll let you exist. And
I appreciate that.
Do you have a day job here in this area? Are you a student?
I paint and I also help with childcare.
Okay. See? Yeah. These artists, they're all over, and we've got a couple of painters in the wings right now. Mm-hmm. So, okay, thanks so much for coming in, Melissa.
Thank you for having
Columbia me. Columbia River Symphony. What's your website?
www.columbiarriversymphony.org.
You're an org also.
Yes.
Okay. So when I say it's a free concert, that means there will be a donation bucket, and sometimes they have some gorgeous swag.
We have merchandise.
Merch.
Yes.
Yes, I know. I got... I got one of those fabulous bags last year.
We've got mugs now, too.
Okay. So you can make your contributions. Yes. And basically, it just keeps the music going to pitch in. If we all pitch in just a little bit. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And I am going to unceremoniously, because we're short of time, I'm going to switch right over to my painters. I have two fine art painters here. One of them, John Willis, you've been here before.
I have.
And with you is Denise Monahan. Mm-hmm. You haven't been on the station before?
I have not.
Okay, come a little bit closer. But you look so familiar.
Do I?
Yeah.
Maybe you saw me at the...
At the co-op.
At the co-op.
I said the whole town was at the co-op. Our wonderful Astoria co-op had its grand opening. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of hundred people that you could barely turn around. So they are opening a show called Two Point Perspective. And how are you spelling two?
TWO, I think.
Okay.
I hope so.
And, well, you're still going to have to explain it. What does that right. even mean? But this is at the AVA, the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery, which is on the corner of 10th Street and Duane. 1010 Duane. It's that beautiful big blue building, and the gallery is right there. It is the northeast corner. You can't miss it. And it's all windows, although they do have some movable walls these days. So tell us a little bit about what people are going to show. I don't know anything about your work, Denise. Why don't you start?
Okay. Well, I just moved to Astoria recently, and this is the first real big show that I've had here.
Congratulations. And that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where did you come from?
I moved here from Los Angeles.
Oy vavoy.
I escaped L.A.
That's quite a move.
Yeah.
That's pretty and, extreme.
And my work has been, I do portraiture and animals, and it has kind of an environmental theme, and I work in oil and tempera paint.
Mm-hmm. Have you been painting for a long time, or do you do other?
Since I can remember.
Since you can remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. And always painting was your art form?
Painting and drawing.
And drawing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what made you decide to come from L.A. to Astoria?
Well, basically love.
Oh, that's, you know, that sounds familiar. I think that's how I got here. It was...
I love the land, and yeah. I fell in love with someone here also. Mm-hmm. So it was like a double love
yep.
thing.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
That sounds like a great start. And now you've got your first show happening, and that's very exciting.
Yeah.
Now, John, I have, who officially, and this, I don't want to people to be too confused, so I'll explain. Officially, his name is J. Wesley Willis.
Yes.
But he goes by, to us, as John Willis. So
that's right.
That's why I'm calling him John.
And I really only did the J. Wesley Willis because there's about 10,000 John Willises in the world. So I didn't, you know, there's a musician, there's all kinds of John Willises.
Set yourself apart.
J. Wesley Willis is just for identification.
Okay. Yeah, I had to ask because I thought, wait.
Yeah.
Wait, aren't you John?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I am. John to my friends.
John, and you are everybody out there listening, that you become friends of John's.
That's right. So
tell us about your work.
Well, I started painting a little bit when I was a kid and then put it away for years and years. Had a little stint in my 30s where I did a handful of paintings. And then just a few years ago, I heard this great little video by Ira Glass where he talked about how you build momentum. He talked about the value of doing a huge amount of work. And I thought, well, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna take his advice, and I'm gonna do 100 paintings. And if they're not good, who cares? I'll light them on fire. And I did. And
in what kind of a time period?
I set the goal
3 years,
and
or?
I set the goal to do them 100 in a year.
Ooh.
And
wow, that's
and I didn't get there, but you mm-hmm. know that's how goals are. I probably did mm-hmm. 65,
mm-hmm.
and then that was in Yahats. Then I moved to Astoria, picked up again, and pretty soon after hit 100. And
did it work for you? Did
oh,
you?
Oh yes, it's yeah. it's magic.
Interesting. It's,
the thing is, if you just do a large volume of work. There's you also have a large volume of discovery, a large volume of mistakes, a large volume of experience, and it's just it's the advice I would give every person who is making any kind of art.
I was going to say it's not just painting.
It's every it's creative process.
And not, exactly, it's
yeah.
not even just what people think of as art. It's
yeah,
creative. Yeah.
Yeah, and when I was in Yahats. You know, I think painters tend to paint their environment, and so I painted landscapes there. But my people often liken my work to Edward Hopper, which I see that. I think I'm a little bit different, but Astoria is just the patina here is it's really special. It's really, really great place to be a painter, and I've pretty much just exclusively paint Astoria. And so, you know, walking around town, I'm always walking through a painting. Always.
So what medium do you use?
Oil and panel.
Oil
and panel.
Okay.
And it was interesting. Denise and I, who the AVA just paired us together. I have done some acrylic underpaintings, and I was wondering if other people did that. And Denise just talked to me about kind of a similar thing she did, where she'd switch mediums kind of part way. So
egg tempera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the first fine art, or the first historic religious art, I guess, from the 1300s. Mm-hmm. That was
sacred
all
art.
Egg tempera. Yeah. So it's like a very ancient
And they
form
used
of painting.
Real eggs.
Yes, that, you use that. Egg yolk.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Andrew Wyeth.
He's an egg tempera painter.
Right. Yeah.
So
modern.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that it was that old.
Yeah.
Well, I learned something.
See?
Yeah.
And I was thinking that, and you said, because I didn't know that that's the way it had happened, but I like that idea. Just today, we've been seeing a lot of collaborations.
Yeah.
And the North Coast Chorale and the North Coast Symphonic Band and the Columbia River Symphony and the Warrington and all these collaborations where everybody is constantly growing and learning and benefiting. The Warming Center is part of the North Coast Chorale's performance tonight.
Yeah.
So it's a constant experience. So,
yeah.
So your show opens tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow evening, yes.
At
5 o'clock.
It's Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria.
Yeah.
And at 5 to 8, and there are many, many galleries and other venues. I'm not going to be able to tell you by any means all of them, just to say Lightbox is featuring their members, Tempo Gallery, Captain Thron Riggs, Imogen Gallery has, well, we talked about that. They have, because they are my underwriters, they have a fiber show with all kinds of 8 different artists. And I've seen some of these people before. It's going to be gorgeous. Plus, I understand that Tango Celeste is going to have jewelry there. And the Secret Gallery has the Talking Monkey, which I have to mention because I'm a fire monkey, you know. And so, but all of the galleries. So it's a wonderful night to be out and about. You can start even before 5 o'clock. And start looking at art. The goodies don't come out till 5, but the artists are hovering, and you will be at the AVA gallery.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
yes.
They will be able to answer questions. You'll get to see who they are, not just their voices, and know that they will be here and back. How long have you been in Astoria, John?
I'm so bad at timelines, but it seems like maybe 4-ish years.
Okay. That's
like
close
that.
Enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're, how long did you say?
I've just been here since the summer.
Yeah. Yeah, a real newbie.
a welcome addition.
Yes.
A very welcome addition.
And quite a welcoming to have a show.
Oh, it's great.
Gallery,
it's been a very great community.
It
very.
Is.
It feels very welcoming.
Yeah.
I felt the same way.
It's
same
wonderful.
Way, probably by the same people.
Arts.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to
Thank
both
you.
Of you on the show.
Thank
Again,
you.
The AVA Gallery is on 10th and Duane. And, of course, the streets are alphabetical and numerical, so you can't not find it. I'm going to just run through some things that are happening. And, yes, I am running overtime. I hope you don't mind missing the news.